Technorama episode 544 for September 19th, 2018.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I have a new hobby, and I need a utility belt and an awesome cape.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
You know, after Dragon Con, the cosplay sales are great. It's like the after Christmas sales.
Everything's half price. It must go.
You can get some great Stormtrooper boots on sale.
Hey, that's like, I know some people that were spending thousands of dollars on generators this last week, and this week they're half price.
Imagine that. Pick up a used one, hardly used. Yeah. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you and welcome. You have no idea. You're returning, wow, God bless you. Thanks for coming back.
Warning.
Yeah. That's putting it mildly. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig? Surviving the storm?
I'm grand, actually. I'm good, man. I lived through Florence, and not really much issue for me.
And you got a stupid t-shirt to show for it, too.
Florence Henderson?
Yeah.
Florence, Italy.
Florence, Italy.
No, Flo from,
the Progressive commercial. Oh.
Yeah. From Flo from Mel's Diner.
From Mel's Diner, yeah.
I was thinking Mel's Diner, actually, but yes. Sure.
That's the sound I should have used instead of the boy.
We are all over the place. Also joining us are some familiar voices. Welcome back to Keith Lane.
Hello, how are you?
From TG Geeks and his cohort.
Eric Andres of the day.
That's Stimpy.
Yeah.
And there's Andy Kaufman in the background.
Stin and Rimpy.
Stin and Rimpy, yeah.
And a voice that you have not heard on Technorama and probably in the podosphere for even longer, the one and only Brian Brown.
Hey! Oh. And there was much rejoicing.
Hi.
Yay. My name is
Brian. He was there in May.
He's a recovering podcaster.
And I'm a podaholic.
I used to podcast years ago.
There's probably a chair over there with your ass groove in it somewhere. Say,
this all looks so familiar. I don't know why.
Can't imagine. Only a few of the furnishings have changed.
Yeah.
Well, glad to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's good to have you all here. And I think we have one bit of feedback here. Where'd it go?
One piece of feedback.
Wait, you have something right up here.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. We got a postcard from Yorga.
That's not what I was thinking of, but yes,
what
I did too.
Yorga, isn't this like from his backyard? Isn't he from?
Yeah.
Not Amsterdam.
That's actually taken from my yard before Florence came through here.
Ah, the floods.
All the windmills were, no.
Is that you right there on the front?
They flew away, huh?
Yeah.
That's me with my finger in the dike.
Careful.
Oh, okay. Do we need an explicit tag all of a sudden?
I didn't say anything out of the ordinary
for us. Welcome to the Castellan Press.
Yeah, Jorga sent these cards from Holland.
But yet on the back it says Netherlands. I'm so confused.
Oh, does it?
Just doesn't mine say says, Netherlands on the back?
Mine says Holland.
Mine has a map. In case you get lost on your way to...
Yeah, where Jorga's at.
Put a star on there. My house is here.
Yeah.
Three rights and a left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's piece cake.
Piece cake.
Piece pie.
All right, and I am going to be doing some global traveling next month, so Jorga, there's some postcards from all over the place coming your way. So watch for those. Shall we do the history thing, gentlemen?
Wait, hold on.
All right, I'll pass out the D20s in the show notes, you do your thing.
What do you? No, you put it in there. Just quick Dragon Con recap.
Quick Dragon Con recap.
Is there such a thing?
Okay.
Really? Seriously. A quick recap?
Yeah.
A Drag Con recap?
Yeah, all right.
Was there a Drag Con?
A Drag Con.
Oh, Dragon Con.
Yeah.
So over Labor Day weekend, Craig and I went to Dragon Con. This is our number 10, 10th in a row. And we not only had our Comedy Forecast and Technorama combined show. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
We introduced some new show elements this time. Ooh. We had sort of the Technorama version of Match Game. We called it Chuck and Craig Against Humanity.
I see.
Oh.
Yeah. That was like...
Well, we figure we've been working together podcast wise for so long.
We wanted to see how close these brainwaves really were after all this time.
Uh-huh. And how badly did it fail?
It was scary.
Really?
It was scary. Close.
Yeah. We got like 2 out of 3, right?
Oh, cool.
And the third one, we matched the audience member too. So it was all three of us matched.
Wow.
We also had a Star Trek panel, first year that we've been in the Trek track. With our new show, The Topic is Trek, which you can find at thetopicistrek.com.
Yes, and all the audio is posted. So you can go to listen to our last show we posted here or on The Topic is Trek and find all that stuff.
That was a lot of fun, too, because we did some sort of a live version of our show, but we tailored it to a live audience, which was appropriate.
That's nice.
We had two truths and a lie where we took Star Trek stories that we've done in the past and then added in a false one. So we figured nobody listens to our show. They won't know which one we're adding. And of the three stories, I had two of the, actually I had lied all times. Wasn't no, no, I had two of the lies and I fooled them both times just because of the authoritative way in which I read the story.
You have that voice,
right?
Use the podcast voice.
Hey,
the podcast my favorite, for geeks.
My favorite of the one lies that we read was the one I wrote, and it was where, you know, they put that statue up of William Shatner, and he said it didn't look like him, and it wasn't approved and all that. Yeah. I wrote a story saying that it was defaced. It was painted blue with yellow on the Delta shield to look like T.J. Hooker.
And Shatner says it still doesn't look like me.
That's right.
Wow.
That was fun. That was good times, man.
We also did the parade.
The parade.
We closed the parade again. I think this is our fifth year as the evil robot Santa in Futurama.
Uh-huh.
Our group is growing. We added two Zoidbergs.
Coincidentally, I should
say. We displaced the 501st, the Stormtroopers and the Star Wars characters at the end of the parade. So on the way into Atlanta, I was telling everybody, you know, my evil plan is there's only a finite number of parade wristbands that they can pass out, like 3,800, I think is the number. So as our group grows, we're taking them from somebody. And I thought, you know, picture ahead maybe 10 years where our group is 500 people and the Star Wars people is down to about 6.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel bad. Well, my plan worked a little faster than I thought because as we were staged as the last vehicle, we're out on the street and everybody else is filing out from a parking lot to our left front. And here come the Star Wars people. And halfway through... Whoa, careful. You're going to get us in trouble. Halfway through their group, we see... a Darth Bender.
Okay.
Standing next to him is a Layla with purple hair. So a Layla. I don't know. Eric Clapton's coming to mind for whatever reason. And we said, hey, you guys should walk with us. So they held back, and they were the perfect transition from Star Wars to Futurama. And we've added Darth Bender to our Facebook group, which we affectionately call Ass End of the Parade. Uh-huh. Both of our Benders, the people inside, their name is Daniel. So this is getting even scarier.
Wow.
Creepy. And I just went, wow, this plan's working faster than I thought. We're
you now have an evil plan.
We're stealing them from their group.
Oops.
That's right.
It was just a lot of good memories. We did play an all-day D&D game with Scott Tyler.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was about
that was fun.
Nine
literally,
and a half we hours.
Played, yeah, we played like nine and a half hours or so. And that I got to tell you, it was a nice break from running around and being around all the people.
Yeah.
And spending time with a small group of friends and playing D&D. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And at the end of the adventure, Craig's son Harrison played for the first time. Very good at it, too. He's a readaholic, and he was trying out every spell he could do as a cleric and left, right, and center, and I'm trying to keep up with him. And at the end of the adventure, Scott turned him into a monster. Yep. So he says, first time I did that, but because Harrison wanted to keep adopting the creatures that we were fighting.
The monsters. He wanted to hug them.
He wanted to take one home and name it George, I guess.
Tame it. He's trying to tame that stupid crab.
It's an evil acid-spitting centipede. I will hug it.
He's got the
name it George.
Wrong class. He needs to be a druid, not a cleric.
Yeah, there we go.
And then he can hug all the creatures he wants.
Wasn't Clinton our druid? He should have been doing that.
Was he? I think he was.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of good memories made at Dragon Con this year.
Yes.
That it was. Now can we pass out the D20s?
Now can we pass out?
Yeah. Oh.
Now I get to roll for initiative.
Oh, it's going into the pit. Oh, the pit of doom.
The Sarlacc pit.
The Sarlacc pit. Oh, two in the pit.
Oh,
craps.
No more for you, buddy.
Sweet. I got an 18.
You got an 18, huh?
I got a 4.
I got an 8. And I got a rock.
A 7. Okay. 8, 4, 7, 9.
I just watched Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark this past weekend. That was fun. Still holds up well.
Oh, yes, it does. So.
Okay, which way are we going?
Well, I guess Craig said he got 18.
Craig starts.
Yeah.
Craig starts.
And then me. And then we'll just go around.
Yeah, I'll just go around.
Yeah.
Go around that way?
Yeah.
Or this way?
We'll go clockwise. Craig, the monitor represents Craig.
That is Craig.
That's Craig. The part of Craig will be played by the ViewSonic monitor.
That's Craig.
That's me.
All right, let's play the music and get this thing started.
Oh, yeah, music.
On this day in history for September 19, 2018, this is the 262nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 103 days remaining in 2018.
The 262th?
It was on this date in 1676 that Jamestown is burned to the ground by the forces of Nathaniel Bacon, not related to Kevin Bacon. During Bacon's Rebellion.
Bacon. So many burning down songs come to mind. Burning down the house. Disco Inferno. Okay. That same date in 1778, the Continental Congress passes the first United States federal budget. We can spend $12.
They got a credit card. Don't worry about it. They're fine. It was on this date in 1796 that George Washington's farewell address is printed across America as an open letter to the public.
On September 19th, 1852, Annabelle de Gasperi discovers in Naples the asteroid Massalia from the north dome of the Astronomical Observatory in, what the hell, Capodimonte.
Close enough. We'll go with that.
September 19th, 1879, the Blackpool Illuminations are switched on for the first time.
I wonder where those are. I have no idea what those are, but it sounded cool.
I was going to say, what the heck is that?
66 years ago today, the United States bars Charlie Chaplin from re-entering the country after a trip to England. I just watched Idiocracy, and I can't get that un-Nazi'd the world thing with him in it.
There's a guy in Afghanistan dressing up like Charlie Chaplin right now, going around and spreading good cheer towards his fellow countrymen. It's
I bet he can't get back in the country.
He can't get into this country either.
He probably couldn't get into the country before he was Charlie Chaplin.
Also on September 19, 1957, first American underground nuclear bomb test, part of Operation Plumbob Squarepants.
Also today in 1970, the first Glastonbury Festival is held at a farm belonging to Michael Evis.
1970? Doesn't seem like the 1970? Glastonbury
yesterday.
Festival is older than that.
Should be, I would think.
It was like yesterday.
Yeah. It was 36 years ago today that Scott Fahlman posts the first documented emoticons, smiley face and frowny face, on the Carnegie Mellon University bulletin board system.
36? It doesn't seem like emoticons should be older than that.
You would think so.
And he used noses.
Yes.
Now we know who to blame for all this.
33 years ago today, Tipper Gore and other political wives form the Parents Music Resource Center as Frank Zappa and other musicians testify at U.S. congressional hearings
on obscenity in rock music.
Take that, Metallica.
Really. Oh, obscenity.
Yeah.
In rock music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big
imagine that.
Huge.
And Ötzi, the Iceman, discovered in the Alps on the border between Italy and Austria on this date in 1991. That's
doesn't
not a real sentence.
Like Ötzi the Iceman? Is older than that?
Yeah.
He's like 5,000 years old.
Yeah. Just a little bit older.
It was 8 years ago today that the leaking oil well in the Deepwater Horizon oil spill is finally sealed.
Wow. Doesn't it seem like it was a long time ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be the tagline on this segment.
Yeah, it seems like it was yesterday.
Who's next?
Oh, wait. Is that my turn? No.
No.
Brian gets his.
Happy birthday goes out to, on this date, English naval explorer led the third expedition to circumnavigate the globe, Thomas Cavendish, born on this date in 1560.
Coming in a distant third on his circumnavigation.
Yes. Yes, you. Congratulations, bronze medal to you.
Circumnavigation? Isn't that a medical?
Careful.
Yeah.
Little boys.
Yes. French mathematician and astronomer Jean-Baptiste Joseph Delambre was born 269 years ago today. Seems like a lot longer ago.
He's a listener.
Yay, there was applause. There was applause back there.
Yes, well done. Well done.
Orson Pratt, the American mathematician and religious leader, was born 207 years ago today.
I always
wonder
what
the heck he is. Yeah.
He's Orson mathematician Pratt. And religious leader. What do you?
Yeah. Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
Please turn your hymnals to Formula 44.
Yeah.
Where to the square root of 12.
Differential equations.
Yeah. All right. American engineer, inventor, and business person William Sellers is born 194 years ago today.
Born September 19th, 1865. American-German photographer Frank Iguini.
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 Cousin to Frank Liguini.
Yes. James Waddell Alexander II, the American mathematician and topologist, was born 130 years ago today.
Doesn't that sound like a pompous name?
Yes, it does.
James Waddell Alexander II.
Mm. Ferdinand Porsche, Austrian engineer and businessman, was born on that same date in 1909.
What do you think he invented?
The Ford?
The Ford?
Chevy.
Volkswagen. Chevy.
The front Porsche on your house. Hey!
Yeah. The front Porsche! Yeah. English engineer Derek Gardner was born 87 years ago today.
And also born on that same date in 1940, American singer-songwriter and actor Paul Williams.
Mm. I remember him. Wasn't he on The Love Boat?
Yeah.
He was on Smokey the Bandit.
Cass
Smokey
Elliot
the Bandit.
Made famous from Scooby-Doo cartoons.
What?
What? Mama Cass!
Explain that one.
She was on Scooby-Doo.
Was she?
She was.
Yes, she was.
Okay, I'll take
it. Remember Scooby... Oh, my supernatural experience going out the window. She was born on this same date in 1941.
Also turning 73 today is American actor Randolph Mantooth.
From
Emergency.
Emergency.
Yes. Also turning 73 today is American actor. Oh, that's yours. Sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Also born on the same date in 1949, English model, actress, and singer Twiggy.
Yeah, we were talking about Twiggy earlier, and it's like, what the hell did she ever do?
She was in the Blues Brothers.
Be there.
She was on Buck Rogers.
Twiggy. It's about like the Kardashians. What'd she ever do?
I quit her to Paris Hilton.
Yeah. American guitarist, songwriter, and producer Nile Rodgers, born on this date, 1952.
Must be good.
And also turning 58 today is French aerodynamicist and engineer Loic Bigois.
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 And Bigois? What's so funny about biggest biggest?
Craig won the lottery on names today. Good job, Craig. Good job.
Dickus, Dickus.
Oh my God. As soon as he said it, I couldn't.
Oh my.
The music has left, but we're going to keep going.
What's two so more. Funny? Just two more.
Oi.
Oh my.
Wow. I got to let my eyes dry out. Wow. On the screen. American captain, pilot, and astronaut Sunita Williams was born today in 1965.
Where's the music?
Yeah. Also turning 44 today is American comedian and talk show host Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Listener birthdays this week include some of last week's because we missed a show. September 14th, Andrew Peters is Pearl Hacker from the UK. Jeff Schultz, a.k.a. Gorbash, on the 18th. The 20th, two birthdays, Joel Harper, a.k.a. Rincewind from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Joel Rickenbach,
Oh, deceased. We have some deceased listeners now. Oops. This is, we've been podcasting too long.
Listening from beyond the grave.
Maybe.
Wait a minute. Who updated his birthday?
I don't know. Maybe a friend of his. Maybe he's listening on Angel Radio.
Angel Radio.
Dean Jensen, a.k.a. Beaker 1 on the 21st. The 22nd is Matthew Jarks. Jarks. I'm glad that he spelled it phonetically. Jarknado.
Jarknado.
And on the 26th, Brett from Wales.
Wales.
Happy birthday to all of you. If you want to get on the birthday calendar,
are you, sure
you can do
B-R-E-T-T?
So.
B-R-E-T-T? Yeah, I would have thought that Brett was
P-Q-R-Z
spelled
with a P-Q-R-Z. W. Yeah. W, a couple Y's in there, a couple L's.
Brett.
Sorry.
Go over to checkchat.com/wiki. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, we wish you all the best this week and hope to see you on the calendar same time next year. That's the way it was on this day in history for September 12, 2018. Wow. That was a lot of fun.
That was.
I always forget, the more people you add to the show, the longer it takes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
That's it. Craig, you rolled the highest, so you get the first story.
I get the first story? Really?
Right. Really?
We're just going to do stories in our rolling order here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And any so software developers are now more valuable to companies than money.
Gold.
So you can steal all the pins you want.
Wait, how? If they're more valuable than money, how do you pay them?
Carefully.
In pens.
Cheetos. Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Mountain Dew.
Same way we did last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we going to have, a new stock market, you know, trading techies back and forth?
Yes.
All right, so as our global economy increases, increasingly comes to our, I should really focus on the paragraph as I'm trying to read it.
Yeah. Biggest,
so as our global economy increasingly comes to run on technology-enabled rails, and every company becomes a tech company, demand for high-quality software engineers is at an all-time high. A recent study from the Stripe and Harris poll found that 61% of C-suite executives believe access to developer talent is a threat to the success of their business. Perhaps more surprisingly, as we mark a decade after the financial crisis, this threat was even ranked above capital constraints. And yet, despite being many corporations' most precious resource, the developer talents are all often too often squandered. Mm-hmm. Collectively, companies today lose up to $300 billion a year because of people stealing all the pins, paying down technical debt. As developers pour time and money into legacy systems and dealing with their own ramifications of bad software, I've seen some of Chuck's code, so this is true.
That's right. Someone is supporting my bad software from 30 yeah. years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. This is especially worrisome given the outsized impact developers are having on companies' chances of success. Software developers don't have a monopoly on good ideas, but their skill set makes them uniquely deep source of innovation, productivity, and new economic connections. When deployed correctly, developers can be economic multipliers, coefficients, and that dramatically ratchet up the output of the teams and companies of which they are a part.
So are we looking at, like, you know, the NFL of software developers where, like, I'll trade you, you know, a couple CAD guys for, you know, somebody who can do JavaScript, for example.
Hey, I'm a free agent.
Yeah, exactly.
If your company comes in last, you get first round draft
picks. Pretty much, yeah, draft picks. Yeah. Because, I mean, that's
isn't that what they call a consultant?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I get three consultants, you know, since I came in last year, something like that. But it seems really interesting that, you know, here that these are the most valuable parts of a company now, which makes sense, actually, in a lot of ways.
Well, because a lot of technology companies, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's driving the force behind, you know, what makes a company great. You know, Google, for example. Can you imagine Google losing some of their big brain power? It'd be insane. So,
and we were teased in high school.
Exactly.
Take that, jocks. What are you doing now?
Yeah.
We're now I'm more valuable than money.
Exactly. Yeah. Screw you. I'm more valuable than money.
But that was just an Annie Mouse quote from somewhere.
Annie Mouse. A nanny mouse.
I'm going to take my pocket protector and go someplace else.
I kill you, Hank Bang. You're the best. That's pretty cool.
Let's go play some RPG. Cast some magic missiles.
Am I getting drunk? Are there any girls here?
All right, where we go?
Where's the Mountain Dew?
Who interrupted this show? It's those nerds.
Nerds rule. You know that because you're listening or watching this show.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, my turn. NASA is offering $1 million to turn CO2 into sugar. This sounds really interesting just from the headline. I don't know where we come up with these stories or if we read them ahead of time. NASA
sounds cool.
That's right. NASA is challenging people in the United States to come up with an efficient method to convert carbon dioxide into glucose, a simple sugar. The atmosphere of Mars consists predominantly of CO2, about 95%, which is 92% higher than what we've got here. And glucose is a great fuel for microbe milking bioreactors that could manufacture a variety of items for future settlers on the red planet, NASA officials said. Space.com reports, the new competition consists of two phases. During phase one, applicants submit detailed description of their CO2 to glucose conversion system. Interested parties must register by January 24, 2019 and submit their proposals by February 28, 2000, same year. In April, NASA will announce the selection of up to five finalists for this initial crop, each of whom will receive $50,000. Phase two will involve the construction and demonstration of a conversion system. Winning this round is worth $750,000. That's $700,000 more than the initial prize. How about that? Bringing the competition's total purse to $1 million, assuming five finalists are indeed selected from phase one.
Where's the pinky?
Right there.
You don't have to win or even participate in phase one to complete in phase two.
What?
Or to compete. You don't have to win or even participate in phase one what? To compete in phase two.
Yeah, it's that comma.
Yeah.
Huh?
Gotcha. The challenge is open to citizens and permanent residents of the United States. Foreign nationals can compete if they are part of the U.S.-based team. To register or learn more, go to the CO2 Conversion Challenge website.
Oh my goodness.
What on earth is, well,
what on Mars is this supposed to be for? Well,
you harvest podcasters talking because they generate a lot of CO2.
Yeah, there we go.
For sure.
I think it's so they can open up a Starbucks and, you know, coffee, sugar in the coffee.
No. This, you got it backwards. The software developers are turning sugar into CO2.
Is that what it is?
Am I doing it wrong?
Okay.
Now I see.
It all makes sense.
I still
now.
Don't understand. They take in the Mountain Dew and breathe out.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. I think we're on to a award-winning idea right now, actually.
There you go.
We're just headed in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Just send all those nerds to Mars.
Yeah. Or maybe politicians. Politicians maybe could be tapped for this.
Yeah.
They
talk a lot more than podcasters sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And they definitely generate a lot more methane than other. So there we go. More science.
Yeah.
Science!
Science! So the next story is unmasking AI's bias problem. So when Tay made her debut in March of 2016...
Remember Tay?
Oh, yeah, I totally remember Tay. I remember the meltdown of Tay.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How long did she last? About a week?
Not very long. So
a week.
Now, of course, Microsoft had very high hopes for the intelligence-powered social chatbot, like the automated text-based chat programs that we used to have, you know, like Eliza and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Tay could answer written questions by doing so on Twitter and social media. She could engage with the masses. Rather than just simply doling out facts, Tay was engineered to converse with in a more sophisticated way, one that had an emotional dimension. She would be able to show a sense of humor, to banter with people like a friend. Her creators even engineered her to talk like a wisecracking teenage girl. When other Twitter users asked Tay who her parents were, she might respond, "Oh, a team of scientists in a Microsoft lab. They're what you, letter U, would call my parents." If someone asked her how her day had been, she would quip, "Oh my God, totes exhausted." Yeah, exactly. Now, best of all, Tay was supposed to get better at speaking and responding as more people engaged her.
Yeah.
As for her promotional materials said, the more you chat with Tay, the smarter she gets, so the experience can be more personalized for you. In low-stakes form, Tay was supposed to exhibit one or more important features of true AI, the ability to get smarter, more effective, and more helpful over time, and eventually take us over.
But then...
I'm sorry, Dave, I cannot do that.
Yes, but nobody predicted the trolls. Yeah. Realizing that Tay would learn and mimic speech from people she engaged with, malicious pranksters across the web deluged her Twitter feed with racist, homophobic, and otherwise offensive comments.
Of course they did.
And within hours, Chuck, that's how long it takes, Tay began spitting out her own vile lines on Twitter in full public view. Ricky Gervais learned totalitarianism. Yep.
Wow.
From Adolf Hitler.
I can say a word.
Greg said it.
Wow. From Adolf Hitler, the inventor of atheism. Tay said in one tweet, convincingly imitating the deflammatory fake news spirit of Twitter at its worst. Quiz her about the President Obama and she compare him to a monkey.
Oh, my gosh.
Ask her about the Holocaust and she deny it occurred.
Oh.
So less than a day, Chuck, really. I mean, went from family friendly to foul mouthed. Fewer than 24 hours after her debut, Microsoft basically boom, cut the line on her.
Hey, weren't you like that when you first got on the internet?
Yeah,
a day. Craig, don't you mean
family friendly to foul mouth?
You mean on the BBSs, right?
Yeah.
So, what was that? Striking was when the wrong turn caught Microsoft basically off guard. They're like, oh well, we didn't expect that. It's the internet, really? Come on. When the system went out there, we didn't plan for how it was going to perform in an open world.
It must have been like a college research program or
something. I was just thinking, we didn't expect that. I'm surprised. The internet is a foul place.
So, yeah. A little further down in the article, there's a video that explains that artificial intelligence has this bias problem because... If you take machine learning and we're learning from previous experience,
right?
The previous experience is tainted. We use this at work to determine, hey, if we have 30,000 records and all the ones for printer requests were routed this way and prioritized that way and had these keywords, then we could do some basic triage and take the human element out of it and route it the same way with high confidence and assign it and categorize it and do a lot of that mundane work.
It's the deep learning piece that you're looking at, really, for your stuff.
But if you took, say, internet articles that were biased, they were saying for judges that were reviewing parole records. Okay, if the previous judges were biased, either racially or whatever, then that's a bad data set to learn from.
Right.
And we have to correct that when it comes to AI and machine learning.
Well, and there's so many trolls out there doing their thing. Look what they've done in the last, you know, couple of months. How many people have they brought down?
Yeah.
Basically,
IR learned.
Basically, you know,
I'm gonna bought you a new dictionary.
Yeah. The good thing about AI is they're good at task-based. I mean, to a degree, as long as there's no bias involved in that task. And so that's kind of where the challenge becomes is like, okay, well, if there is bias in that task, for example, the judges is a good example, you know, then there's definitely going to be a problem with it. But if you're doing printer problems, they're pretty much black and white. Is it a problem or not? So we've talked about AI before and the good you could do with it and all the bad you could do with it.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is kind of the same thing as like, you know, oops, our bad. We need to fix things that with AI and how it learns and basically the bias that, that's in everything. That how do you make an AI determine that?
Well, I mean, even, like you just kind of alluded to, even the people that are building it are biased at some point level. So how can you not be
biased?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you also have this very thing that's very innocent, so to speak, in that it doesn't have any built-in bias. And then you're building bias into it, you know, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the bias is really in the data. I'm not sure as so much that it's in the algorithm.
It's the data you feed into. Right.
Actually, I was kind of seeing the mask being Archie Bunker. It was foul-mouthed and denying the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, get me dead.
Stifle it there, get it.
Wow, I think we found a new thing for Craig to do.
Yeah. I'll work on that.
There you go.
A Carol O'Connor cosplay?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he needs to do.
Just sit in a chair.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to have to walk around with a fake chair and sit down and...
Yeah, and just insult look anybody like comes up. Yeah, pretty much.
Shut up, you meathead.
Yeah.
You stifle it, Edith.
Yeah. I think it'd be a great cosplay. There you go.
Hey,
you can get away with a lot on that cosplay.
Yeah.
That'd be the problem. Only a certain sect would get it.
That's true.
Yeah.
The but old, I mean, that's
the
a
old people.
Well, that's
the
a lot people. Of cosplay, though. You know, the right people get it, right?
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Cosplay bias. That's what we're talking about right now. Way to go, Craig.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez, Keith, Craig.
On that note, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories and Remember When. And hang on to your seats, kids.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Another faithful listener on Angel Radio.
Yeah, the late Richard Hatch.
Yeah. What was I thinking? Oh, Astronomy Cast. Astronomy they just had Cast. Their 500th episode gala celebrante in Indiana. Where, I'm trying to remember where Dr. Pamela Gay is from, but they went to
somewhere in the U.S. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a big old celebration. There were pictures on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. Cool. So they had a good old time. So congratulations to them. I encourage you to listen if you are interested in astronomy.
One day they'll catch up to us.
By the way, there is some wonderful viewing out in the early evening right after sunset. You can see Venus and Jupiter and the moon and Saturn and Mars all in one swap. Mm-hmm. The Mars.
I disagree. I cannot.
Well, yeah, get out a hurricane path and be fine.
Clear this path out.
Just stick your head out the window, Craig. You see what plenty of things, I'm sure.
All right.
Look at cow.
Or you could go to Astronomy Photo of the Day site, and perhaps someone will have a panel of that.
By the way, my wife and I were walking the dog before the storm was coming, and there was this lady.
Or something?
Yeah. There was this lady riding her bike with a little basket in the front, and I was like, dun, 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 dun.
It's right there. Very nice. Very nice.
I do have some sounds at work.
All right. It's time for the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
No, stifling,
man. Who's turn? I think it's Ben's turn.
It's my turn, but holy crap. That's like
timely. Slash.com.
I'm not that blind.
Put it in old man font for him.
Yeah, old man font.
200% fine with you.
Slash.com show.
It is a very slash dot J.
Jeez, man, you gave me like the article that was like 50 pages long. Everybody else said like,
yeah. All right, we'll sit back and relax.
We summarize.
Yeah, I know.
So MIT graduate creates robot that swims through pipes to find out if they're leaking.
We need that here.
No kidding. A 28-year-old MIT graduate named Yu Wu spent 6 years developing a low-cost robot designed to find leaks in pipes early, both to save water and to avoid bigger damage later from bursting water mains. Hmm. Called Lighthouse, the robot looks like a bat-mitten birdie, reports Fast Company. A soft skirt on the device is covered with sensors as it travels through pipes propelled by the flowing water. Suction tugs at the device when there's a leak, and it records the location, making a map of critical leaks to fix.
Just don't flush the toilet when that thing's down there.
From the report, MIT doctoral student Yu Wu spent 6 years developing the design, building on the research that earlier students began under a project sponsored by a university in Saudi Arabia, where most drinking water comes from expensive desalination plants and around a third of it is lost to leaks. It took 3 years before he had a working prototype. Then Wu got inspiration from an unexpected source. At a party with his partner, he accidentally stepped on her dress.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, dear. Dun, dun, dun. And she noticed immediately. Unsurprisingly,
And Wu realized that he could use a similar skirt-like design on a robot so that the robot could detect subtle tugs from the suction at each leak. Wu graduated from MIT in June and is now launching the technology through a startup called Watchtower Robotics. The company will soon begin pilots in Australia and in Cambridge, Massachusetts. One challenge now, he says, is creating a guide so water companies can use the device on their own.
Hey, they why didn't manual? They just register youwoo.com?
Youwoo.com.
Interesting.
Yahoo just called.
Is that anything like YouTube?
Yeah. Oops. Don't want to bring that one up.
That's kind of neat. I like how he found his inspiration there.
There is. Yeah.
Find, you know, the one thing that I learned when I was in college in business class, find a need and fill it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if trying to detect like water pipe leaks, if that's a problem, and in some places it is, hey.
Find it and fill them.
Yep. That's right.
This
right.
sounds like, the next step would be to put some sort of epoxy or resin or sealant that this robot
that's
can
the next
detect
step.
And fix it.
Have another robot.
It sounds like this thing is for larger scale pipes. They said water mains and whatnot. So I'm envisioning a rather large robot.
Right.
There is a device. I was listening to the IoT podcast, and there's a company that sells a device that kind of clamps onto the water main, and I think it effectively listens. And will it's a smart device, so you get alerts on your phone or the internet or whatever to say, hey, you know, there's water running, even though you may not have flushed a toilet or running laundry or anything. So that's another way to handle it on a smaller scale, because that's just
use a water witcher. My grandfather used one of those.
It's
amazing how accurate he was and found the leak in our water pipe in our backyard with a water witcher. Two coat hangers that he made, put together.
Wow. Remember when I saw that on TV, I forget where it was at, but the little divining rod and I thought that was fascinating when I was a kid. I'm going to try it. And I put a glass of water on the floor and I was like, look, it works.
Right over it.
It pointed at it. I swear it did.
Craig, there have been numerous tests about this. I love listening to Dr. Carl and Triple J out of Australia. It's it's a podcast, a radio show on Thursdays. And he said, I believe it was the Amazing Randy did this debunking test.
Right.
You know, he's like the world's greatest skeptic. And they had water pipes in this field, but of course, nobody knew where they were. And it proved that the divining rods were basically a crapshoot. If you got it,
they
you were lucky.
Right.
More of them missed it than got it.
Wow. They weren't using it right.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Craig could teach him a thing or two.
Yeah.
I don't think the magic is quite so much in the coat hangers as the person hanging on to it.
Yeah.
Well, I took this in school. Goldberg, I know what I'm talking about.
You took divining in school?
Yeah.
Divination?
Yeah, he went to divination school. That's Craig. Father Craig to the others.
Divination, that's correct.
Yes.
He went to Hogwarts.
He's got a degree around
divinity
somewhere.
Degree. It's a divination degree.
Yes.
I got it around here somewhere.
Letters in divination.
Sure.
Yes.
He's the only kid to get kicked out of Slytherin. Yeah. Bad behavior.
Let me use my divining rod to go find my certificate.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more for you, Mr. Keith.
Oh, I get this one? Not the ducks? The robot ducks?
Did we skip over the ducks?
Yep. Miss the ducks.
Hospital uses okay. Yep. Okay.
Are you using the same show notes we are?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get through the show fast.
Oh, that's what you were trying to do.
I see.
Robotic therapy ducks have started waddling their way to children's cancer hospitals nationwide after making their debut at CES earlier this year. The company is distributing the robotic waterfowl through a series of events as part of its activities for National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. It started with the Aflac Cancer and Blood Disorders Center of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, where kids were sent on a scavenger hunt to find their very own high-tech chubby companion.
They found Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
No.
Later this month, Aflac will distribute the second batch of therapy ducks at the Palmetto Health Children's Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina.
If it's still there.
Yeah, if it's still there.
It is still there.
Okay.
I know, yeah.
My special Aflac duck was created to be educational and therapeutic, with features especially designed to comfort kids with cancer. It has RFID-enabled emoji cards on its chest that allows patients to choose a feeling that they want the machine to reflect. If they choose the frowny face, for instance, the duck will lower its head, slouch, and let out a sad whimper.
How does a duck sound? Quack. Quack. As opposed to a happy quack?
Aflac.
Aflac? Yeah.
It also has a port with an RFID chip kids can use to pretend they're giving the duck chemotherapy. Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, God, that's sick.
And parents can download the Feathery Machines accompanying app for iOS and Android, where kids can bathe, feed, and give it medicine.
Huh.
The company says these features give the children. Yeah. Use that rectal thermometer.
Whoops.
I wasn't going to say.
The company says these features give the children a sense of control during their treatment. In addition, the duck has a heartbeat and deep breathing features that can be used to calm the patients. While the current rollout only covers two hospitals, Aflac plans to expand its campaign to hospitals across the U.S. later this year, providing newly diagnosed kids ages 3 to 13 years old with a robotic duck free of charge.
Good for them.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty good.
We joke about this, but I think at the heart of it is a very nice thing for them to be doing.
It's something. I mean,
you know, what I think about is like, okay, so it's got a port so you can give the duck chemotherapy, kind of like how they're doing it. It kind of allows them to cope with that concept where that they're having to go through chemotherapy. Hey, their duck can go through it with them.
Yeah.
Right. And all that. So
it's a pretty distressing time.
It would totally be.
Chemotherapy is horrible.
Imagine as an adult and think of it as a kid.
As a kid, it's terrible.
Exactly.
Hey, terrible. I need an alcohol duck so I don't have to drink alone.
I thought that what your dog was for, Craig.
Oh, Juno, where's my dog at?
Juno, the therapy drunk dog.
Therapy drunk dog.
I can see Craig Cairn on the airplane. This is my therapy animal. I gotta take him to Dragon Con with me.
My empathy.
He's got the bourbon barrel
on his neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof, I can't bring that dog on here. He takes up four seats.
Saint Bernard.
With the animal.
It's my internet therapy dog.
It's got Wi-Fi.
You can't get any sound.
All right, moving right along.
Moving right along. It's Chuck's turn.
Am I the only one left?
Yes.
I think I'm the only one left.
Legging Atari 2600 games.
Yes. Circa the 1980s.
Oh, dear.
Back, there is a French ad, which Donna will happily put on the screen here, for a data duplicator.
Duplicator.
The Unimex SP-280. It says, amateurissement, seven copies. Which means after seven copies, you get your money back. I read further in the article earlier. Yes. And according to this, I believe somebody did the conversion of francs to euros to pounds to dollars, whatever it
was.
And it was somewhere around $2,000 for this thing.
Ooh.
Wow.
So
wow.
The discussion is largely on Reddit. It is largely around... Oddly enough, it diverted to floppy disk copying back in the 80s, which was rampant.
We just watched War Games.
I've never seen.
I think 10 inch floppy disk.
It's
like, or is it 8 inch? It's like
size of an LP.
The heck is that?
Well, I think I've heard of people back in the day copying 2600 cartridges, but I never actually saw anything like this.
And they were 2600 cartridges back in the day were expensive.
They were pricey.
Weren't they like $30 or $40? Were they higher than that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I like the headline. It says bootlegging. It took about 10 minutes to copy a 4K game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was high speed. And this, you got to remember, this was the days before the internet. So, I mean, I will admit that I did some floppy disk piracy back in my college days.
What?
Chuck. See that closet right there?
Tomasi.
Yeah.
Ooh, is it full?
It's got a few remnants. See that?
I'm waiting for the feds to break the door down.
To that parrot on Chuck's shoulder.
Hey, Chuck, I'm waiting for the door to break open when the feds start pouring in.
I want to know where they got the
blank cartridges for. I mean, later they put in some copy protection. There were extra chips in the cartridges. But the use case that I read about this was that you could rent a game, which was obviously cheaper than right. the expensive. So you rented it for a couple of days or a week or however long you rented it from the local game store. And then you made your own copy so you could hang onto it longer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was. But where do you get these blanks and how much were they?
Yeah. Well, they had to have them somewhere. They made cartridges to begin with.
Right. Well, you think about it, how much floppy disks, blank floppy disks cost back in the day, too.
Oh, my.
Man.
$5 a diskette was when I started.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually, early on, they were expensive.
Super expensive. And if you got the high quality ones, they're even more expensive.
I would buy like a pack of six with 5 or 10 disks in them each. And then I would sell them out to my friends so I could at least recoup some of my cost.
Right.
I was trying to make some profit, but I just didn't want to spend, $300
right. on something. Right.
So I only need 20.
How much software were you pirating there, Chuck?
Well, my copy of WordPerfect was on the 5-inch.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember the price changed dramatically on floppy disks when bonus discs came around. Seemed like they're
bonus
discs.
Oh yeah, bonus was a type of
bonus
floppy disks. Yeah,
was it like a zip drive?
No, they're just a brand of floppy disks. They were like the cheaper one because Maxell had one.
Verbatim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bonus ones were way more inexpensive. Craig and I kind of ran in the same circles back in the day.
I thought I had some cheap floppy disks in my day, but I never heard of bonus.
Oh yeah.
And I've also I actually got. Not the disc. I got a cover. I'll have to show it to you sometime. But we talked about this on the show before, trying to maximize, especially on the Commodore 64, since it was single-sided floppies.
You could cut the notch and flip it over.
I actually had one of the notch cutters that you slide in. It was fancy.
I had a friend in high school. He had one of those, too.
I just got good with scissors.
I used a hole punch. Just use a hole punch.
Yeah, use a hole punch, too.
The hole punch was questionable. If you
worked.
Yeah, it worked okay, but you just had to be really careful. Otherwise, really you cut the edge of the disc.
Right. And I will admit the little cutter where you just slide it on the corner and go kink.
Yep.
It worked.
That's the one I had. It was lovely, and I used it a lot.
Rich kids.
We had a business.
I'm putting
going
a floppy
on.
In a 3-hole punch and get it right. That's talent. That's talent, man.
Yeah, it's true.
I had to do it uphill both ways.
Yeah, there you go.
In snow.
Yes, in snow.
In South Florida.
Yep.
Kids these days. So, I don't know how lucky they have it.
So I wonder if you could adapt one of these cartridge copiers into a cartridge reader and save the data off to like your MAME arcade machine thing.
Ooh. I bet you could.
Oh. No, I just download it off the internet.
Because somebody already did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Been done.
I'm not doing that. It's somewhere on the internet. In one of them Usenet groups.
Yes.
Alt.binaries.
Wow. Oh, no.
That's going back.
It's
going into the Usenet news groups.
Yep.
Which I think are archived on Google, are they not?
They're actually in the Wayback Machine.
Is that where they are?
Yep.
On archive.org?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Man. I'm almost
there's so much stuff on archive.org. It's
amazing.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The entire sum of human knowledge.
Yeah, I posted quite a few to the Usenet news groups.
I used to as well.
Comp.hp.something. I was HPUX. I had a lot of questions and whatnot. That was an interesting concept for its time. Yeah. Because you wouldn't get an instant answer, but you'd get a lot of answers.
Oh, yeah. Not always good answers.
Yeah.
No.
Especially
what are you asking that question for? And we actually had a section of our bulletin board program that piggybacked on that. So we had sort of private hierarchy that we could share between their 3 or 4 nodes. Mm-hmm. And then it was like having a virtual bulletin board in different geographic regions.
Nice.
Yes. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those were the days.
And
that's a vacation Bible school.
We
used
emoji-cons.
Emoji-cons.
If you turn your head sideways, they kind of look like they're winky face.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Hey, is it scary how easy you got to where you could see those? Like at first, when you first saw a little...
What the heck is it? Did they?
I
never had a problem.
Me either.
Well, the first time I was like, what?
The second I saw it, I said, that's pretty creative.
Oh, yeah. Are you not going to do a shout out to them?
What? Then you don't have to turn your head sideways after a while. Yeah.
Yes, we'll do a shout out to the chat room.
Yeah, you just scrolled past it, so well, I didn't think you were going to.
I was slow down.
Oh, sorry. Well, I thought he was trying to get us out the door.
We do this show every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time.
Here's the guy trying to speed us up. Telling us to slow down.
We have a whole lot of people that have joined us. We got Chris Smith, John Clifford, Tim Elliott, Doug Schultze. We have some coworkers in here. Craig, act proper. Sit up, professional.
Too late.
Yeah.
Kevin Devin. We haven't seen Kevin in a while. Kevin used to do the In the Trenches podcast. Joel McLaughlin. David Glazewski. Wow. There's a name that I haven't heard in a long time.
I'm not seeing all these names, but
Jet
that's cool.
Tiong. I'm just scrolling through the chat.
Wow.
Jet, is that another coworker? So act professional.
What is this, like HR is going to come get you?
Probably.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning.
These are the cool guys. They won't turn us in.
Okay. That's good.
6 a.m. Pacific.
What do these nerds do when they're not working on ServiceNow? We're podcasting about nerds.
Looking
stuff.
At it.
Yeah. Right now, it looks like the crowd is thinned out a little bit, but a lot of people coming through here. We appreciate it. If you want to join us, you can go to Facebook. We also have our Patreons. Where's my Patreon music? There we are. Yes. Now every time I hear this song, I think of the 501st in the parade. Speed it up, you guys! Thank you to our patrons. We have a number of them, and they bring this show to you. No, we bring this show to you from their goodness and kindness. Something like that. With as little as a dollar a show, they help offset the cost of the show, and they get special content available that we record right after this, but it comes out right before this. So if that's not confusing enough, I don't know what it is.
Tiny whiny.
That's right. We do it just to screw with the internet. Happy birthday. No, this isn't the happy birthday section.
No.
This
is Patreon. So.
This is the Patreon section. Yes.
My brain is going wibbly wobbly on me.
Timey wimey, definitely.
Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros. I think we saw most of these people at Dragon Con, Craig. John Clifford. And yes, we saw Leon.
Yes, we did. He was at the show.
John Noble?
He was at Dragon Con.
That John Noble.
Wow.
He was at Dragon Con, and I really wish I had an opportunity to go up and say, can I get a picture, put it in my studio, so that when you say that John Noble, I can say yes.
No, right there.
Not that John Noble. Point to it. It had to go, get him to sign it and say, to Technorama from that John Noble. That's on my mission list next year. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rauen, John Miller Jr., That John Miller Jr., our newest Patreon member, Amber Elstead. Thank you all very much. You can go to patreon.com/technorama podcast and help support this show. It would mean the world, the universe, everything to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So
appreciate it.
Take the stormtroopers out back and let them shoot things.
Pew. More wristbands for
more
you guys.
Wristbands for us. Yep. Hey, we have a remember when in here.
Remember when?
When did you sneak this in, Craig?
It was up. I was trying. You didn't have to call it out. I just moved it down so that we didn't have like nothing at the bottom.
Did you intentionally spell his name that way, or is that the name of the article?
No, I think I got it from the article.
No,
it was Craigism. Don't worry about it.
That's Craigism. Craigism.
Yeah.
I did not type that.
It's not how the title is on Geeks Are Sexy.
They've changed it. I swear to God, they changed it because I don't like it.
And that's his story, and he's sticking to it.
I use a Chrome extension to make these links. So, that's Chrome not what it was.
That's it. Okay.
Blame it on the Chrome extension.
It's all Google.
No. The hurricane ate my links.
The article is about how Stan Lee built a superhero empire. Very interesting video. If you want to go through and watch that, it's about, five or so minutes? Not terribly long. But goes through his early career. What did he start out doing? Delivering packages? It was something really mundane.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, you're right. It was something mundane.
And he wanted to be a sci-fi writer.
Yeah.
But he didn't really get started into the comics until the 60s. And he didn't get the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe really didn't take off until the early
10 years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, the early part of 2000. Even his early attempts, there was a Spider-Man TV show.
Oh, wait, I was going to say, there's some Marvel stuff. Some of it is better than others.
But it never really financially took off.
It's not the juggernaut that it is.
No, it was the first Iron Man that with Robert Downey Jr. that really got it started.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the Hulk.
Wait a minute.
I thought it was Blade.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Incredible Hulk, the TV show.
Yeah, but I don't think Marvel had much rights in that because they had sold a lot of their rights off.
Oddly enough, that's true. Hulk theme at the end, you know, when he was walking away in the rain or something. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. That popped into my head for some random reason today. I don't know why. I hadn't even read this article or watched the video yet. I thought that was really obscure and far-fetched, and I hadn't thought about that in probably 40 years. Where did that come from?
It's one of those places.
The universe is telling me something.
Yeah.
Go eat more gamma radiation.
There you go.
Said no one ever.
Yeah.
Right.
What could possibly go wrong, right?
So go to our show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 544, and you will see how Stanley superhero empire. Oh, Craig fixed it. Our question.
I'm telling you, I didn't do that. I didn't type it in. I promise.
Biggest dickus.
Continentia buttocks. Yes.
Lord and Lady Sandwich. Sorry, we just skipped genres there. Our question of the week before we go is, if you could change your name to a fictional character's name, what would you choose? And don't say biggest.
There we go.
R2-D2.
Beeble rocks.
Yeah, good luck spelling that.
Slarty Bartfast.
Slarty Bartfast.
Because that way, if anybody even asks me my name, my response can be, it's not important.
Craig, that's what you have to use as your Starbucks name. You've heard about Starbucks name. Yeah, because when you go in and they say, what's your name? And you say Craig, they always spell it wrong on the cup.
Yeah, yeah.
So people have Starbucks names, so people spell it right. They'll go, my name's Tim.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to do it.
Say, I'm Slarty Bartfast.
Yeah. They'd hate you. The baristas would spit in your coffee, probably.
They're like, Tim.
Yeah. I don't go to their office, but next time I do, that's what I'm going to do.
They're probably like, Slarty Barfist.
Sloppy breakfast.
Sloppy breakfast. Oh my.
Do it just to see what you get. Now I'm curious.
I don't go there often, but I will. I will do it just now to actually do it.
Yeah, you got
to
make it your mission.
Yeah.
And report back.
It's a mandate, Craig. A mandate.
It's a science experiment. Mandate.
That's okay, we go on. Or a non-mandate.
But
I'm pumped. <Ba-dum-bum. laughs>
Yeah, all right, we will post this on Facebook sometime during the week and collect our answers up for the next show. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Our pleasure.
No. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Wait,
thank
we had you. Gentlemen there?
And ben thank you. Keith, tell them where they can find you on the internet.
At tggeeks.com.
Yeah.
There we go.
And Brian, do you have any presence?
On the Facebooks or the Twitters?
Technorama podcast.
Put your presence under the tree.
Yeah. No, I really don't do anything. The only thing I'm really doing right now is
staying in Chuck's backyard.
Pretty much. That's it. Kind of in the Oleanders.
Hanging out in the Oleanders.
Hanging out. There's an audio drama that I was part of called Geek by Night. We're on hiatus right now. We're working on the next season, and I'm part of that. So Geek by Night, check it out. It's pretty cool.
Very cool. All right.
Where can we find you? Technorama, the podcast for geeks.
Among other things.
Let's roll the outro and then we'll tell them. You can find us at chuckchat.com/technorama, along with many other podcasts that we do. Craig and I also do one called The Topic is Trek at thetopicistrek.com. And what else we got to tell them, Craig?
Goodbye.
I'm so impressed.
Thank you for listening. Consider being a patron. There's all the other contact information over at the website. So hope to see you there. Thank you very much for joining us. And until next time, we're not at that part of the song yet.
We just had to wait.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. We were a little bit ahead in the talking.
Wait for it.
No, okay, really.
Here it comes. Craig, give him a binary high five.
this my cue?
Yes, go.
All right. 101.
Thank you. Perfect.
You I almost ruined it.
010.